Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 5. Listen now for God's word to you. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in their years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God during his selection tour, turn of duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." This is the word of the Lord. As we turn to Zechariah and Elizabeth's story, we realize that many of our fears show up as longing. Like a deep ache inside us, we long for a better world, a different story, a brighter future. In the time of Herod. With these words, Luke's gospel grounds the birth of Jesus in a world that was shaped by violence, occupation, and fear. This was not a golden age of peace or spiritual clarity. It was a time of survival under the empire. Herod, the Roman-appointed ruler of Judea, governed with paranoia and cruelty. His power, secured through imperial alliances, was maintained by coercion, surveillance, and brutality. Luke situates the story of Jesus within these political realities. His gospel is not only spiritual, but political resistance in the face of empire. Amidst this context, Luke introduces Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're an aging priestly couple, not marked by any prominence, but by longing. Zechariah is a priest, and he and his wife have been struggling with a longing, a desire, a hope that is so common, that I imagine they felt like they had done something wrong. Who doesn't get married and conceive children? All around them, friends and family and even strangers were able to have a child. And yet, even in their devoted fullness to God, a child had not occurred. As we join this story, we discover that Zechariah and Elizabeth are old. I suspect they have given up hope on the one thing they didn't have, a child. And then one evening, Zechariah is selected by lots. Yes, they rolled dice to figure out who would light the incense. And Zechariah was selected. So he goes into the inner chamber of the temple, and yes, you got it, the angel appears. I suspect that at that moment, Zechariah was shaking in his sandals. Angels were not a common appearance then, just as they are not today. And this is interesting because this angel brings good news. How many years have they been waiting for a son and a Messiah? I wonder what it was like to live under Herod's reign. Had they run out of hope? I mean, they'd done everything right. And much like in our American culture, we believe the lie that we can do anything if we put our mind to it. If we believe hard enough, things will just work out. The reality for Zechariah and for Elizabeth and for us is it is so much more complicated than that. While their prayers were eventually met with great joy, not every longing ends with a miracle. Do not be afraid. It's so much easier said than done. Like when we get a diagnosis at the doctor's office and she says you have glaucoma. Or your sister calls and says she has cancer. Or your dad's doctor says he's in congestive heart failure. It would be so much easier to fear than to trust that God is in the midst of all this. So much easier to fear, which triggers this fight or flight or freeze or fawn response. This fear happens not only to each of us personally, but it also happens in institutions like churches. I waited, as you all read our church's mission study, and I wondered how many of you had a fear response to the idea that we have a limited time if we don't change things around First Pres. I saw some response, some fight. Pastor, this church is 175 years old and it will continue. They are wrong. Some flight. We're just tired and old. And what is the use of trying to figure out a new future? Just keep the doors open until my funeral and then it really won't matter. And some freezing. If we just keep doing everything the way we've always done it, we'll be just fine. In some ways, I wonder if it's not easier to fear than it is to look for and move towards hope. In order to hope, we must put all our belief into trusting God, and I often think we play a hedge game of holding back just a little in case this trusting in God doesn't work out. We begin another season of Advent, the time of waiting for God to break in again with the birth of his Son, our Savior Jesus. And in this season of waiting, I wonder about the sense of fear, of worry, of hopelessness so many people have. If you listen to the news, you know our world right now is shaped by violence and occupation and fear. Much like Jesus' time. Yet this story reminds us of what can be sure of, that God is listening to every prayer. God is feeling our deepest aches and drawing us near when we struggle for hope. You know, we hold on to hope because we believe that Christ did come, the promise of this season. And our hope is not flimsy or fleeting. It's gritty and it's resilient and can endure no matter what we fear or face. This season, let us insist on hope and trust the good news is greater than fear. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.